you would, turn in your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. That'll be our scripture today. Will come from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. If you don't have Bibles with you, the scripture will be on the screen. As today we talk about Memorial Day, a time for action. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort which produces in you patience, in patient endurance of the same suffering we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. Well, Memorial Day is obviously a big celebration weekend across our country. Schools are letting out for summer. I expected some hooping and hollering then, but I guess not. Pools are opening. Is your pool open yet, Ray? Yep. It's official. And fashion aficionados say it's now appropriate to wear white. Yeah, you go. More than likely, each of us will join in a weekend of festivities somehow. But let's take a few moments and embrace the real reason for Memorial Day and how we as Christians might view this celebration. I felt led this morning, while we in the forefront have the celebration of Memorial Day, I would like to view today's scripture not only in a lens of Memorial Day, but through the overall experiences of death and trouble life brings to each of us. Suffering and death are a part of life on earth. God will use it for his purpose and comfort you through it. Of course, for us to fully experience his purpose and comfort, we have to be willing to open ourselves to his love, to hear what he says, and follow his guidance. I believe scripture makes a pretty convincing case of why it would make sense for anyone who has not already done so to make Christ a central part of their life. Is there anyone here who has experienced pain, loss, emptiness, and the fear of death? Most everyone has. And if not, death is an inevitable part of life. Perhaps one of the greatest gifts anyone receives at such a time is the gift of compassion. The definition of compassion is the ability to understand the emotional state of another person or oneself. Now I ask you, is there any being who can possibly be more compassionate than God? Of course not. God created you. God loves you unconditionally. He knows every trial and struggle you face. God knows your hurt and your pain. Does it not make sense that God is the one who best understands your emotional state? God's presence in our lives gives us hope, perspective, strength to not just get through the experience of death and suffering, but to realize its value and move forward. But we'll talk about that in just a moment. God always desires to be with you when you're going through the most difficult struggles in life. Hear this. God always desires to be with you when you're going through the most difficult struggles in life. Do you believe that? He does. But if we allow God to be a part of every day of our life, it is
so much easier to receive comfort when we experience the most difficult days of pain and loss. Now, I want you to hear what that's about. It's not saying that God isn't going to comfort you as much. God isn't going to be there, or you're not going to get as much as someone else because you didn't do what you needed to on other days. That's not what it's about. God's love is infinite. The problem is when we haven't taken time to connect to God and understand and make God a daily part of our life, we aren't capable of receiving it. It's not because God's not giving it. It's because we haven't been open to understanding what God's love is like. So we don't know how to receive it. We don't know how to experience it. We don't know how it works because we haven't allowed God on a regular basis to move in and out of our life. So it's important if we want to really receive that comfort and compassion from God when things are difficult, to rely on God every single day. God comforts us so we may comfort others. One of the beautiful things about experiencing God in the midst of our suffering is that we are then able to convey similar compassion to others in the midst of their suffering. That's what Paul's talking about here. If you go back and read it, I think that's pretty obvious. Compassion is more than caring for and wanting to help others. It means having a totally different perspective when it comes to how you perceive others. Sharing the compassion of Christ with others means seeing others through the eyes of Christ. You will begin to see and understand things about that person you are burdened for and go beyond your own personal experience and relationships in the way that you see them, in the way you experience them. This type of compassion is powerful and life-changing, not only for the one you're caring for, but also for the one who is doing the caring. But we have to realize this level of care for others is not about us. We're not even capable of it. It is about God's love for that person. We are allowed the honor of being a vessel through which He conveys this love, this care, and this comfort. God, through the Holy Spirit, will use you in unexpected situations to say unexpected words and provide unexpected comfort. It is likely you may even have the opportunity to minister to someone who has in some way harmed you in the past. And here's how it works. Instead of assuming the reason someone has done something that hurt you is because they are selfish or inconsiderate, you allow God to reveal to you a bigger picture of the challenges, the hardship, and the pain in their own life. This will not justify what they may have done, but it gives perspective that can allow you genuine compassion, meet the need, and perhaps even mend a friendship. And then there's what I want to refer to as a living memorial. I talked about this being a time for action. Being that it's Memorial Day weekend, we do honor our fallen soldiers, and it's disappointing to think that anyone who might go through the weekend without giving thought to the sacrifice that these men and women have made. But I believe it would be just as disappointing to do only that. These men and women did not die for the purpose of having us mope around and reflect on their death. They died so that we might have freedom and embrace the opportunities they believed to be worth their life. It is good to both remember and to celebrate. This is true for us in our everyday experiences of death and suffering as well. No one escapes this experience. Death and suffering are not intended to define us, though. But God can use it to shape, mold, guide, direct, and even bless us. Death is a part of the process of life. As believers, we embrace the truth and gift of life on this earth as an opportunity to serve God. Death is a bridge that oftentimes is even a friend that allows us to cross from this life to the next and enter the physical presence of God the Father. Have you ever been to a funeral where people were so happy that except for the way they were dressed and where it was, you might have a hard time knowing it was a funeral? That's happened to me a time or two, and I loved it. It was a celebration of life, a real celebration of life. I've been at so many funerals where we start off saying it's a celebration of life, but it's like nobody believes it. And I know there needs to be a time of grieving, and that's appropriate, and we need to do that. But that's not all that person lived for. There was so much good, and that should be a part of a celebration. And if that person knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're having the best time they've ever had. Yes, it hurts, and yes, we miss them, but it's a time for us to celebrate the blessings God's given us and the opportunity they have to be with their Lord and Savior. Everyone there realizes not only the past but also the future is brighter of a life well lived. How we face the life of tomorrow has so much to do with how we live life today. Jesus says in John 10:10, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. Well, we'll talk about a little bit more about that action. And this I call giving of yourself. How many of you plan to hang out and have an amazing Memorial Day party tomorrow by yourself? God did not create us to stay to ourselves. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go find the biggest party in Nelson County or Lynchburg. You may get much more joy out of hanging around with a few friends by a grill with some barbecue, with hot dogs, hamburgers, or something else. My point is you can't have a party by yourself. And we cannot live the life God desires us to live without sharing it with others as well. We're to share in each other's suffering and comfort. God created us to be a part of each other's lives. If God brings to mind someone who's suffering or having a difficult time, consider reaching out to them today or tomorrow. Seek to see them through God's eyes. He just may want to use you to bring change that turns mourning into celebration. Now, this last thing is something at first I thought it sounded a little weird and unnecessary to mention today. But on second thought, I sensed God leading to point out how today's message is already being put into practice. So speaking of celebration, I want to make sure each of you know you're invited today at 2 p.m. to a pre-Memorial Day celebration. Christy and I, Siri wasn't invited. I want to make sure each of you know, except for Siri, that you are invited today at 2 p.m. to a pre-Memorial Day celebration. And Christy and I have invited the entire church either by invitation card or e-vite. Now, that doesn't mean you got it, because we know how today's mail is, and you may not have got it in the mailbox, and depending on technology, you may not have got it in that email mailbox either. But I tell you, our intention is to invite everyone here, and you're going to see why in a moment, to invite to celebrate Noah's graduation. But we're not simply celebrating academic achievement. We're celebrating overcoming obstacles, challenges, and even physical injuries that have been a part of this glorious journey. And you have been a part of that. Noah has been here as a part of this congregation since he was 2. I have to make sure I got it right with my wife. Some of you knew him when he was 2 years old. He was different then, and he's different now. And we love him just the same. God has used you. And this is what we're talking about today, being involved in each other's lives. And a lot of times you didn't have a clue the impact you were having. God created us to do life together. Woodland does that well. And this little party is a celebration of Noah's accomplishments, but it's also to thank God and to thank each of you for being willing to be used by God in Noah's life. If you're a guest today, we would like to extend the invitation to you as well. Nobody's left out. No need to bring anything. Just come and experience the joy of knowing the compassion, the sacrifice, and the sharing of God's love through the body of Christ. That's what we want this celebration to be. And maybe say a prayer for this Cavalier pastor who will now have not just one, but 2 Virginia Tech Hokies. The praise team may come up. If you're wondering, because you say you're going to have a party for Noah, but I haven't seen Noah. Noah doesn't know this. He doesn't know that, well, he probably suspects I'll say something about him today, even though he's not here. But Noah's actually doing what I think I preached about today. There is a family that our family's gotten close to in the time that Caleb and Noah have been going to school with them and their children. And he got an invitation to come and be a part of a celebration they're doing. And he doesn't usually miss a Sunday morning because he knows of the priority and the importance and what worship is about, and God is number one in his life. But I think he understood that there was a sense of him going and being a part of this because of his connection and how God is a part of his life and the message God desires for these friends and family to see. And I tell you, his mom and dad affirmed that decision. I think he's where he's supposed to be today. I'm thankful Dean was here to help with the beatbox too. But God leads us every day to be his people. And so when we come together and we celebrate, when we come together, when we remember, and we live in a world where death, unfair death, is a part of what happens. Where pain and struggle, even if it's not directly from death, are a part of what we live in. But I tell you, the God that we serve, the God that we know, the God that gave his son, loves us so much that he desires us to be able to break through that. Not to live in that, not to be defined by that, because if we're not careful, we can be. We can be defined by our struggles because it consumes us. It consumes our thoughts. It consumes our days. It consumes our resources. If we're not careful, that can happen. But I tell you, God does not desire any human being on the face of this earth to be defined by their struggles. Instead, God wants to be so much a part of your life that he takes those struggles and he turns them into opportunities, and he shows you that there is nothing, no situation, no person, no being that has any power over you when you give your life to him. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, talk about freedom a lot at Memorial Day because of people that gave what they gave in order so that we could have freedom. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and may know what we talk about as a country. You may know some of the things I talked about with children, that we can do some things in this country you can't do in other countries. But if you haven't genuinely given your life, if you haven't made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, I'm telling you, you do not know what freedom is. Because you cannot be free from the sin of this world. You cannot be free from the brokenness that you're experiencing. As much as God wants to take it away from you, He can't. Unless you come to Him, because He doesn't force that. So I would ask you today, I'll spend a little more time on this than I usually do. I don't know why, other than God's leading. I want you to be able to really celebrate today and know who God is. And sometimes we come in and we talk about the churchy stuff, and sometimes it just seems kind of somber and boring. But if that's all, sometimes it's because that's all we do, and we don't celebrate. We don't live life full like what God wants us to. And that would be the same thing I talked about earlier of honoring the men and women who died, but we just go around and we sad all day long, and we don't celebrate for the reason that they actually died, so that we could have the life we have. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. He died so that we could have joy and celebration. So when you're celebrating this weekend, God wants you to do that. God made it so you could do that, genuinely, from your heart. You don't have to fake it. I hate that saying, fake it till you make it. God did not create us to fake anything, but to be real with Him and with each other. So I encourage you today to be real. The altar's open. God is waiting. I'm here and willing to pray with anyone that might want to pray about salvation, about recommitments, about making a commitment to something that you just want to get more serious about. You know it's what God's wanting you to do.